Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right. I already feel good about this.
Yes, it's going to be a fun night tonight.
Stay warm, Chicago.
Yeah.
Stay warm, America. Make America warm again.
Right.
It's WGN. I was going to say it's WGN Nightside, but it's not WGN Nightside. It's the Patty Vasquez Show, and yeah. Mark Carmen and Jerry Nunn are sitting in. Hi.
Pretty late with Patty.
Pretty late
with
indeed.
Us.
Tom Hush producing. Tom, how are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Excellent.
I always feel very, very secure when Tom Hush is at the controls. I feel like we're dealing with an elite level of production.
Yes.
A calmness that few men can bring to the table, quite frankly. Tom Hush does that for you.
Yeah. I appreciate you, Carm.
Tom and Jerry. I should just go home right now. Pack it up, man. So, well, welcome in. We're here till 1 in the morning. Looking forward to hanging out with you. I've been in Atlanta for the Super Bowl, Jerry. I'm big.
I saw the video. It looked really fun.
Which video did you see?
I saw something where you were walking around. I thought you were at the car show at first.
Yeah.
But you were not.
I was pretty much at the car show.
It looked fun and bright.
Did you watch the entire video?
I was at work when it popped up, but I watched what I could.
So that was fun. You weren't entertained by the video.
No.
You found it boring.
Not at all.
And you moved along with your life. It's okay.
No, you were in your element, it looked like. I saw a lot of, sports stuff around.
I'd love to hear what you consider my element. We've done now, is this our third show together?
I think it's our fourth, isn't it?
Is it our fourth show?
Yeah,
I apologize.
Yeah.
It just flies so fast here.
I know.
So four shows, and my element is just being around sporty things.
Yeah, right. And you were just running around, filming.
Yeah, Well, they have what they call the Super Bowl experience.
Okay.
And so people that live in whatever city is hosting it, or people coming to the game, obviously, those two,
mm-hmm.
who perhaps, maybe they're going to the game, but most likely they're not, and the NFL just wants to promote.
Cash in.
Well, yeah.
How much is a ticket for this thing?
I don't even know if it costs to get in there. Maybe it does. I'm sure it does. Everything costs, but it's not super expensive. Maybe it's $20.
Okay.
Which would be a lot for what you get, but mm-hmm. you go in there and they've got everything set up around football. There was, passing games. Okay. There was obstacle courses. Mm-hmm. There were kicking games. There was, different advertisers promoting their stuff. You could mm-hmm. take a nap.
A lot of free swag.
Free swag was available. It was for the kids. Mascots are walking around. The trophy's there. You can take a picture with the trophy.
Aww. Did you take selfies with the mascots?
I didn't take too many with the mascots. But I did high five a lot of mascots. I like to give them,
Okay. Yeah. What are the mascots for these teams?
Well, it's weird Ram for the Rams, and the Patriot guy is also this bizarre guy. I tried to get him to stop and talk to me, and he was being shooed away, and his handler was like, no, he's got somewhere to be right now. I'm like, okay, can't talk
to him. His handler was tough on you.
The guy, the mascots are very much sought after individuals.
Okay, so was Adam Levine walking around? That's what I want to know.
I didn't see Adam Levine. I said there was a lot of who's.
Okay.
At least around the NFL, just old school guys just coming out of the woodwork. Oh, there's Dan Marino.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's Emmitt Smith. Oh, there's Deion Sanders. Mm-hmm. It's just one after another. Mm-hmm. And they're all promoting something. They're all paid to be there. And then they go through Radio Row. There's 100 rows, 4 across of tables, uh-huh. and everyone's doing a radio show or doing what I was doing was fansided.com. And okay. Adam Hoge's there for WGN doing his show. He did a phenomenal job. Brian Urlacher stopping by, and Charles Tillman, and Prince Amukamara. So it's, you learn very quickly, Jerry, if I may.
Yeah. Yeah.
You learn very quickly where you are at in the totem pole and in the media world.
Right.
It's great to be there. That's an accomplishment in itself. And then you have your banner. How big is your banner? Mm. And then you look to your left, and then the Fox Sports Radio was close to us. He had mm-hmm. so much real estate. They had, LED signs, and their different personalities are being, just cycled through.
Right.
So it's
about money and, you know, being a sponsor and all kinds of stuff, too.
Right. Sure. You know, and people are saying, why do they have to have such a big thing? Well, you know, corporations have got dough. They promote themselves. Mm-hmm. McDonald's is out there doing commercials.
Mm.
Same thing with Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the brand. Like, if we could have a Carmen and Nun banner,
mm-hmm.
that could just be displayed.
Yeah. Well, one day.
Right.
Keep saving our money.
Right. But I missed out on the cold.
Okay.
Yeah, you really missed out, man.
See,
this
I think...
horrible.
See, and I'd like to throw this out, 312-981-7200. Did I feel like I missed out. It's never negative 21. That doesn't happen. So I right. feel like that's. I feel like it was an experience in itself. Like, would you? I'm mm-hmm. just curious if people could have chosen to be gone or be here and experience it and know that you got through it and maybe you just, you know, an extra
right
little bit of toughness that you could put on
separated,
your resume.
That separated the men from the boys.
I mean, how'd you handle it?
I stayed in. You know, luckily the Tribune let me work from home, so that was nice to be at home and, you know, hunker down like a lot of people.
Uh huh.
So, but some people had to be out there. I mean, a lot of radio people, a lot of my radio friends had to be out at their gigs, you know, but we didn't have the mail. The mail even did not, we were like, we're not coming out
see,
for 2 days.
See, I want to say on some level that that's just wrong.
Okay.
Postal carriers, isn't it? Don't they have a slogan?
Yeah, it's like rain or sleet or snow.
Right, nothing.
But, you know, I also was like, hey, I could stand to not get my mail today. It's
right.
not the end of the world.
Right. Who gets that much snail mail anyway?
But did you feel like, was there any part of you that was enjoying the experience, that it was just this cool? I mean, I was looking at all the pictures, and I was uh-huh. thinking, it's kind of cool.
People are throwing out the boiling water.
Right. Pete Zimmerman, morning show. He's walking out. He's doing videos.
Mm-hmm.
I was seeing opportunities where you could be creative.
Yeah.
But you don't look, it doesn't sound like you enjoyed it in the least.
I toughed it out, you know, and then last night I had to go out to like a movie screening, and the snow was coming down, and it was still really cold, so...
You're a southern guy.
Yeah, I know.
Tom, do you feel like you accomplished anything?
I don't know. I felt like I went out for like, I was here on Patty's show, but that was a quick Uber trip. But that morning I did go out. I was like, well, I need to know what this is like. I need to know what negative 21 feels like
right.
on the skin. And honestly, I don't know. I did about 5 minutes out there and then reminded myself, oh, yeah, I could get frostbite and just went back in. That was pretty much the end of it.
And that was it.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, I work in a space where I just have to go to an office.
I mean, I saw Chris Duffy, who's the king of production here.
Mm-hmm.
You hear him on all the rejoins and wherever else just to... And he's walking across the Chicago River, seemingly, and there's a picture of him. You can basically see one eye, his whole, whatever little bit of his face you can see is just frostbitten red, and he's taking a selfie across the river. And I thought that was cool. I'm like, way to go, Duff. You get out there, you took that picture.
Wow, he's brave.
Yeah, right, I mean, across the river.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that's a bold move.
Why did you come back? That's what people want to know.
Well, see, I wanted to be here with you, Jerry.
Oh.
I wanted to be able to be on the radio.
But you could have been, like, at the Super Bowl. Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. No, the company was willing to pay for us to fly down there on what turned out to be Sunday night, and they and this was destination return.
All right, so
we're back.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got a lot to get into tonight, and there's the story that seems to be making the rounds here, which is very interesting with the Jussie Smollett. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes, correct.
Well, we'll hit what went on from a disturbing in our city,
mm-hmm. like right around here,
right down the street.
Yeah,
you know, we're an African American guy who's allegedly having a noose put on him. What year is it again?
2019.
It's 2019. Just checking. All right. Just making sure. All right. Well, coming on back here, 720 WGN. 10:20, Friday night. Hope you had a great week. Getting into your weekend. Big plans this weekend, Jerry Nunn?
Got a lot going on this weekend.
Yeah?
A lot. I've been running around like a crazy person.
Care to share?
I mean, I just went to a huge event at the Field Museum. A lot of food. I had some really good chicken. Oh my gosh, it was so good. And I hung out with the bachelor, Colton Underwood. And he was just awesome, from Washington, Illinois. And he was just really great. I asked him where he's going to see the Super Bowl, and he said his grandma's house.
Aw.
Yeah. So he was a good guy and had a lot of food there. They had a full sit-down dinner, but I wanted to come here and be with you, so I took off.
Did you? What part of you thought to yourself, you know what? He could probably handle the show by himself. This is a rare opportunity.
I didn't think about that. Well, okay, I'm out. Bye.
No, you love coming in, Jerry.
No, I do. I have a great time. Yeah. So I had that going on. I went to this singer called Emily King. She played at Lincoln Hall. So it's been a crazy day today. Okay. And there's more tomorrow.
I've been to Lincoln Hall. I saw Meepso play at Lincoln Hall with all the...
Okay.
I feel like I was the oldest person in there, but I had a wonderful time.
Yeah, this was really a diverse crowd. I was really impressed with her. She's a little like Prince. I wasn't super familiar with this artist named Emily King.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, dressed kind of like Prince, did some funky kind of music. A really interesting, different crowd of people. So, sold out.
You got any singing talents that you haven't shared yet?
Me? Yeah. I sang in the chorus in Tennessee, and yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah. In church. I sang solos in church and everything.
Tom, do you want to hear Jerry sing?
No. I do, yeah. No. If you got the chops, give me a little Ave Maria, maybe.
Oh, Lord. I don't think I can do that.
All right. What about the Camptown ladies?
Oh, well, that's. I need to get my spoons out where I can play the spoons.
Camptown ladies, sing this song. Do that. Come on.
I mean, my greatest hits are, you know, George Michael's Faith.
Oh, really?
You know, some little Ricky Martin. Can sing some Living La Vida Loca.
Well, we're here till 1 a.m. Why don't we table that for now?
Yeah, let me warm up.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll get you those cross earrings that he used to wear.
Oh, yes.
All right, let's table that, and we're going to jump into the heavy.
Okay.
So, Tuesday earlier this week, 2 a.m., all right, so you have an African-American man getting off the subway at 2 a.m., Jussie Smollett, popular, a lot of people watch Empire. You watch Empire?
Yeah, I was on it.
Okay, were you really?
Mm-hmm.
What were you on Empire?
I did some extra work in the coming out episode of the first season.
Wow.
So, and then I've interviewed Jussie like four times.
Okay, so what?
So the vibe with him is, I mean, he is just a straight up really nice guy. Like, I interviewed his sister for a WGN America show called Underground. Her name's Journey.
Okay.
But he, I just interviewed a few months ago, and then just talked to Taraji, who's also on the show and has been making statements about it. This is 2 weeks ago I talked to her. So I feel that just from his vibe, and I think we should get into whether people think it's true or not, because I'm interested if people think all of it's true, or there's some problems with the story, or what they feel.
So he leaves a subway restaurant near his apartment in Streeterville, you know, just downtown, very affluent part of the city. It's 2 a.m. Two people approach him. They're yelling racial and homophobic slurs. He's a gay man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they knew that or not. Maybe they did.
Supposedly they came up and said, "Are you that F from Empire?" Right. That's how they started.
Okay. So, and so then they reportedly scratched him up, doused him with bleach, and then placed a rope around his neck while proclaiming this is MAGA country.
Right.
Okay. So, we can have the question whether or not you believe the story. To me, what's more interesting is that we all live in this city.
Right.
Even if we live in the suburbs. And I'm just curious what people think of how Chicago has come along, has progressed over time, and how inclusive of a city is it?
Mm-hmm.
From my, you know, because I see some good, and I also see that we are still depending. I think we are pretty neighborhood centric.
Right.
I mean, let's put it this way. I think all of us, and I don't want to make this a right or left or anything scene. I just think there could be a lot more diversity throughout the city.
Yes.
Than we have. Now, What I don't have any solutions on exactly how to get us there, but that's something I would like to see.
I mean, I came from the South, and I moved up here because I like the diversity of the city.
Right.
So for me, it's always keeps growing and growing, and I love all that. But people were really shocked that this could happen in Chicago, that this...
See, I don't find it...
You don't find it shocking.
Well, look, there's attacks in the city all the time.
Mm-hmm.
This goes on a whole nother level when you're talking about bringing out a rope. I mean, that is mm-hmm. that is so unbelievably uncomfortable. And, you know, you can hide behind a red hat and act like, you know, I'm aligned with whatever you think the president's aligned with. I'm not the biggest supporter of the president. That's not fair to him. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. So,
I mean, he did make a comment. Trump made a comment about, you know, which was surprising because people were waiting for him to say something. So he basically said, "That I can tell you is horrible. I've seen it last night. It's horrible. Doesn't get worse."
Right.
And then he moved on to...
Yeah, of course. Then he went back to the wall and whatever else. But I just the people that are hiding behind the red hat and acting like these are things that somehow, some way is being told that is okay now. It's just completely and utterly ridiculous. Now the rhetoric could be a lot better coming out of there a lot of the time.
Yeah,
but still, I mean, come on. At the end of the day, it's on you. You can't sit there and try to act like this is okay now. Hey, let's get Uber driver Matt in here. Uber driver, it says that you 100% the story is real. Do you have any information here?
I do not have any information, but to go to the let's assume for a second that it was fake, which I do not believe. Mm-hmm. Do you really think somebody would go that far to, I'll say, frame two murderers by throwing bleach on himself, burning him, scarring him? I mean, there's a line, and it's just, of course he got attacked, and of course, I don't want to go too political, because I know that's not what you guys really do, Carm, but the fact of the matter is, while the president may or may not advocate for whatever happens when people wear those hats are becoming a symbol of discord and a symbol of hate and a symbol of craziness. So that's the truth.
I agree, Matt, but the point is that people are hiding behind those hats, right? I mean, and I appreciate the phone call. I don't doubt the story at all.
Mm-hmm.
My point is this: like, look, I mean, it's very dicey when you get on the political side of it. I personally think that the guy that's in office right now did whatever he thought he possibly had to do to get elected, and at one point the dude was a Democrat.
Yeah.
Now he's a Republican. Now he's wearing hats, and now he just wants the power of being in the seat. And it's the whole thing is disgusting and gross and all that. But I really don't want to go down that thing.
But you're saying he wouldn't have known it would go like that.
I don't think I don't view him as that guy.
Yeah.
I just don't. And that the people that are going out and doing white supremacist stuff across the country, whether it's Virginia mm-hmm. or down the street in Streeterville. Mm-hmm. Those people existed long before Donald got in office, and they're going to be around long after as well.
Yeah.
So
I agree with you. The issues are about, you know, if this is true, like if all of it's true, if these guys were having ski masks waiting for him, you know, and that they had planned all this, because they would have to have brought all that stuff with them. The things was, there's not a lot of camera evidence, and I think they're still trying to go through this. The police are trying to still investigate.
Right, and I think that it's just such a stunningly disturbing story that maybe there's a, you know, can this be true? Could this have happened in our city? Could it have happened right down the street? Well, I mean, I think the proof's, I mean, obviously... Yeah. I don't think he's making it up.
And knowing him, I think he will turn into a platform for good and will go out and speak about this. He's very well spoken. And so I really hope that it goes to a positive kind of thing eventually when he recovers and all that.
Yeah. All right. Quick time. I'll get you in the news. 312-981-7200, 720 WGN. couple things on the whole political climate in relation to Jussie Smollett, who allegedly was attacked at 2 in the morning, African-American guy. His quotes, let me start by saying that I'm okay. He said this in a statement to Essence. My body is strong. My soul is stronger. More importantly, I want to say thank you. The outpouring of love and support from my village has meant more than I ever will be able to truly put into words. I'm working with authorities and have been 100% factual and consistent on every level, despite my frustrations and deep concern with certain inaccuracies and misrepresentations that have been spread. I still believe that justice will be served. And Superintendent Johnson is backing up his story. In a press conference today, the facts as he shows them, like I said, he's been very cooperative. You know, our job is to investigate the allegations and bring the individuals in, and that's what we're working towards. Today, we have no reason to believe he's not being genuine with us. So, question for you, Jerry Nunn, and by the way, Mark Carmen and Jerry Nunn in here for Patty tonight with you till 1 o'clock and talking about the attack in Jussie Smollett, 312-981-7200. Why do you think there is a, call it a movement, to say what he's talking about is inaccurate? Why do you think that's going on?
I mean, when I first heard it, I immediately was upset and, you know, believed everything. But then, you know, when some of this comes back out, there's not a lot of video footage. Why were they carrying all these things around unless they were just targeting him? Which may have happened, you know. I mean, he's saying there's some inaccuracies being spread. So I think that more truth is just going to come out. I don't think he's a liar or anything. I think that maybe some things just got blown out of proportion or something.
Right. And I'm just, what would be the motivation to make something like that up, right?
Right. Right.
I mean,
somebody suggested that maybe he got, you know, there's some kind of abuse, you know.
He's just looking to create attention for himself.
It would
be a very, very odd choice.
Yeah,
hard to believe.
And knowing him a little bit, just from, you know, being around him. And, I mean, this guy is not somebody that would do something like that.
Right. And just to the political side of it, like, look, everybody likes to talk about right, left, liberal, conservative. What's most disappointing to me is, like, right now, at least the way it feels to me, is it's not about right, left, or whatever. It's just about, I'm on this team,
right,
and you're on that team, and we're just trying to win.
Yeah.
I want my team to win.
Right.
And it doesn't really matter what the issue is, even something as crazy as this. So, because...
But is anybody going to win?
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there is no quote unquote winning here.
Right.
And so if I'm on Team Red, this story comes out. He's lying. Can't be true. Nope. They weren't wearing those hats. There's just something. And on the other side too, like I hear people like, don't let him, the people want to have a fight about the wall. This is going to be the worst thing ever if he gets the wall. Okay. I'm not in favor of the wall.
Right,
but if we end up building a wall, the country's not going to fall apart.
Yeah,
might not be the best choice of money, might not make us safer, but it's not going to be the end of the world if that's what happens.
Yeah, I mean that shutdown was just insane for me. And
right,
coming back.
Right, and I and look, I appreciate the fact that you know, people they're going to duke it out, I guess, and we're not going to give you what you want. It's ridiculous. You're just trying to quote unquote win and not do what's best for the country. And we're not going to take a loss over here. But just separate of just the wall, I would just like to see, for whatever reason, it is impossible, it seems today, to be in the middle. Even on an issue with a guy like Jussie Smollett. Now we're going to say the guy's lying,
right,
because it doesn't align with our team.
That's why
I think there's like, no, he's got to be lying because it makes my team look bad.
Oh, right. I just didn't think of it even from that angle. I just was like, just trying to go through the facts like some people.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, if you go back in time, let's go to the OJ trial. Let's go all the way back there. Okay. Well, that was a huge racial divide in the country.
Right.
And it was like African Americans felt like they were all on trial if OJ was guilty.
Right.
That's one guy. He doesn't represent all of you. He represents one of you.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, we get in this team thing.
Right.
And so.
And nobody wins, right?
And it just.
That was another thing. Nobody won back then.
Nobody won. It just gets ugly.
Yeah.
And ugly and uglier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, whenever they're going to find whoever killed Ron Goldman, whenever we'll find out.
Yeah.
So that's just. Mm. And then moving it forward, look, the city, I love Chicago. I love living here,
mm-hmm.
even when it's negative 21. But I think we all know that we can do a lot better in making it a more inclusive city and also leveling the playing field as far as the opportunities for everybody, mm-hmm. starting with the schools.
What about the Candace Payne story? I mean, how cool was that someone did something just nice? Like, someone did something so nice and heroic.
So that's a great story.
Yeah.
And if people missed that, so Candace Payne... She's very successful real estate businesswoman, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with the cold, she knew that people in who were living in tent cities,
yeah.
might not make it through the night. So she ends up taking 100 of them to the Amber Inn in Brownsville.
Wow! And uses her personal credit card,
yeah.
to buy these rooms for people. Didn't have to do any of that. I mean, just and. And obviously did
not... She's 34, by the way, Candace Payne.
I was trying to find her on social media, you know, I'm sure... I mean, but she just... I don't think she even wants that thank you from that. I don't know. Maybe that's why she's not on there. I couldn't find her.
34 years old. She and her husband, familiar with the homeless camp near Roosevelt Road and Des Plaines Avenue, because they passed every time when they went to get on the Dan Ryan. She goes out and... with a couple of friends as well. They go to the camp. This is late Tuesday night. And they took those that they could persuade to the Amber Inn at 39th Street and Michigan Avenue, renting 20 rooms at $70 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, kind of a cool part of the story, she called dozens of hotels. Okay. Denied. Won't take them. The
really?
Amber Inn was the only place that would take them. Go Amber Inn.
Wow. That's a lot right there.
Right?
Yeah. Like, I didn't realize that. I know that...
Hey, Four Seasons, can I bring in these homeless people? No. I mean, I'm sure she wasn't calling the Four Seasons, but she was calling, you know,
yeah,
a bunch of places.
I mean, I think that was smart to ask permission because, you know, you
yeah.
want to get all that feedback from them afterwards.
Well, and also, you don't want to be walking people in and then having them denied, and that's just be humiliating.
Right.
So she had to, she was doing the right thing.
Yeah, it's such a heartwarming story, you know, and doing something during that cold time. You know, I had some friends that went and made little bags for people, little goodie bags of, like, toothpaste and snacks and all things like that, and went out on the train and gave them to people, and you can get donations, and people will really get behind that, so... Good for them, doing something smart with their time.
Absolutely, and then the beauty of social media came in play there. A lot of people, you know, social media, it's accessible. Well, you know, she puts out what she's doing on Instagram. She ends up raising a bunch more money.
Okay.
So
she's on Instagram. I just couldn't find her on Twitter.
Yeah, so they had enough money for 60 rooms for 4 nights for about 120 people.
And wow. That's like the line between life and death.
Right.
Yeah. Really. In that kind of weather, that's like mm-hmm. your body's going to shut down and you won't even know it until it's already too late. So... that takes a real, you know, a real character to go out there and round people up and put them somewhere warm for just a little while. 4 days is not a long time,
right?
And when some people in the homeless community didn't want to leave. No, I'm not going with you.
I mean, that's common,
right? And mm-hmm. so then a propane tank explodes at the camp, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then fire officials that came in, they confiscated dozens of propane tanks. So the campers who hadn't initially taken the offer, now they have no source of heat.
Mm-hmm.
So she went back into the camp and pulls out more people.
Wow.
I mean, that's a hero.
Yeah. Wow, she's battling the cold, too. I mean, you know, it's not like the easy thing to just walk in and do that.
Right? Yeah. 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 So way to bring that into the positive realm, Jerry. I appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I wanted to get her on. I would have loved to have talked to her. So maybe one day we can get her on.
There's always the future.
Yeah.
Candace wants to talk to us. 312-981-7200. What have you done nice today? Just in... Is there anything close to what Candace did? Quick timeout, 720 WGN. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't right. be long. You can lean on us tonight. We're here for you.
I love the music. This is such a good one.
Really?
Yeah. It's like a positive, uplifting song. Love the movie.
I can just imagine a Jerry having an emotional moment, listening to a Lean on Me.
Yeah.
He's belting it. He's got a tear coming out of his eye.
Exactly. Making a nun cry.
Which movie? That's beautiful.
Yeah. Tears of the Nun.
Nun on the Run.
Yes.
Nun for the win.
So let's talk about Valentine's Day is coming up.
Yeah, you're such a romantic, Jerry.
I mean, Geha's fondue is just the best. Have you been there yet?
So it's been a minute since I've had the Geha's fondue. I was there definitely at some point in my life. I haven't been there. The first thing you sent me a bunch of stuff you wanted to talk to about tonight. The first thing on the list was Valentine's Day, Geha's Cafe, 340 West Armitage, February 9th to the 17th, 1% off for every year of marriage.
Yes. So, I mean, you have that to look forward to. You got engaged since we were last together.
See, I got a little bit of a problem with this promotion. I feel like I got to step up here for Geha's.
Okay.
What's going to stop people from coming in there and lying?
And lying? They I've talked been to married, them about that.
What's that?
I talked to them about that.
And what did they say?
They said they're okay with that. I mean, you know, they're not going to dispute a lot of that kind of talk, you know, but people are coming in. I mean, it's supposed to be a sweet promotion, too. If you go in and lie about it, it's kind of weird.
Hey, right. Mark and Jerry.
Hey, Roger.
What was the percentage again?
It's 1% off for every year of marriage. How many years have you been married, Roger?
Coming up on the 21st, it will be 43 years.
43?
Wow, you're getting like that's half good. Off.
Yeah, that's right, just about.
Yeah.
And, you know, Roger, with all due respect, I mean, you know, you don't look like a spring chicken, so you could go in there you could up it to like 52 and get away with it.
Well, yeah, with both my wife, she walks with a cane. And I just hobble for the heck of it.
Yeah,
they would probably say, "Don't tell us it's on the house." Maybe that's what'll happen. I don't know.
Work that discount.
Yeah.
See, and Roger, you're a man of high integrity.
Oh gosh, I don't know who you've been talking to. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, then my bad. I take it back. So Bash is going to go in there. I've been married for 62 years.
Well, you got to say it right.
I don't believe you.
First of all, you have to walk in holding on to each other, shuffling kind of slowly, and then say, "We've been married for 63 years. Hi."
I mean, it's beautiful that Geha's is trusting its clientele to come in there and be honest. Or maybe they just don't care.
I think they want to make it a loving event, like Jerry said.
Yeah, it's nine days. You know, it's they're very well known for Valentine's Day. They make plenty of money. They're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Sell some cheese.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So you're going to be going next year then, right?
For
one percent off.
Listen, when you get married, a deal is a deal. You know what I'm saying?
The perks.
Yeah,
I'd like to open it up right now for people who. What rules do you bend where you just get a little bit of a benefit that you don't necessarily deserve?
Oh, okay.
What do you do, Jerry?
For discounts?
Like when you go to Chipotle, and you get the
extra guac.
Sure. There you go. Do you get a drink at Chipotle?
Do I? Oh, well, that's bad. If you like, say you're going to get water, but then you get some Sprite.
Right.
Shady. That is shady.
I can see Badish smiling in there. He's definitely
well, I'm trying to think.
Like, where do you slightly bend the rules?
I don't really bend the rules because I have to go through them, but once or twice a week, I splurge at a little takeout place.
Oh, yeah?
Panda Express.
Yes.
And, Panda. And they, they're not exactly free giving of their sauces.
Ah.
Even though they ask you what you would like, you know, what sauce would you like with the egg roll? But they're only put in like one or two packets for like a big bowl of, you know, I get the honey walnut shrimp.
Of course you do.
Right, with the fried rice, of course.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's Valentine's Day month and you got to be sweet.
Delicious
Boy,
choice.
Did I stretch that. So,
Roger, I got a quick question for you. Yeah. When you say little takeout place, Panda Express, you it's do mean national chain. Okay.
Yeah, it's national chain. Right. But it's the only it's one near me. It's, it, I mean, you know,
go to this little takeout place.
It's a little takeout
McDonald's.
Place.
Authentic, you know, Chinese.
Real great burgers. Yeah.
So, so what you're saying is you take about a, you take about 10 packets
well,
and put
I
it in your pants?
I'd use the drive-thru, so I have to sit there, and they'll hand me the, you know how they hand you the bag and the money at the same time, so you're, like, dropping everything. And I always say immediately, because I know there's only one or two packets in there, I says, can I please have some more soy sauce?
Uh-huh.
And they give me that look, like, you know, why didn't you say this when you ordered so I can charge you?
Oh, that's the
You know what I'm saying? Because they have rules, just like all the restaurants do. They have rules of how much you're allowed to give of certain things in the meals without having to charge extra.
So you're saying that if you asked for extra soy sauce at the drive-thru, they would charge extra, but the baddest strategy is to order it straight, go in, pay, and then ask for the soy.
Yeah. That'll switcheroo. That is a switcheroo. Yeah.
Well,
they should give you extra soy if you ask at the drive-thru.
Do you know how much? There's like nothing in those little packets.
Yeah,
especially if you can't open it up and suddenly it spills all over the place.
Right.
But,
right.
I mean, everyone's charging for extra stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the sauces at McDonald's, all that.
Hang on 1 second over there, Roger. Dan, real fast. I love when people admit to when they steal things. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Dan.
I was cracking up when you mentioned the Chipotle thing, because I constantly say, you know, you're spending $8 for three tacos, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're really good tacos, but I'm like, oh, yeah, give me a cup of water. And then they're like, well, do you want the fine water? No, just the cup. And then I always go to I go there and I pretend like I'm getting the water, and I make this face. Oh, man, I got lemonade instead.
Right. Right,
but hey, I always constantly lie about my kids' age. That's the one I came up with.
Oh, that's a good one.
So yeah, so you can pay the kid prices.
Oh, they're always younger. I mean, they're
we can eat free.
They're getting older. Yeah, he's only 6, and the kid's 13. You know.
Are you worried that your kids might learn from you, Dan?
Well, actually, yeah, because I tell them now you're 6 years old. I know you're not, but according to this restaurant, you're sick. So, yeah, they're learning for sure.
Yeah, they are.
And they're getting older and not passable.
Thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, so that's beautiful. All right.
Yeah, that is.
Are we breaking before news here? We are? Okay, Roger, we'll do the news. Where do you bend the rules? We'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Jerry's got tons that he's going to share coming back here.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
There you
Confessions
go.
Of a Nun.
Confessions of a Nun after the news, which is coming to you in 2 minutes. Jerry Nunn, I've got the key to happiness.
Tell me about it.
Well, it's listening to WGN Radio.
Oh, gosh.
Mark Carmen, Jerry Nunn, and Tom Hush with you tonight. Tom producing, and Jerry's and I are sitting in for Patty, who is off tonight. No, here's the key to happiness. Tom Hush, are you on the Facebook?
I am on the Facebook.
Badish, I know you're on the Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
You, like, wake up and live that dream instantly.
Instantly.
Right. That's seriously, how often is that the first thing you do in your day? It's okay.
What do you define first thing? Like, I don't even get out of bed and I'm looking at?
Yep.
No. When I wake up in the morning, I take my time, and when I'm having my cereal, That's when I go on the,
okay.
the Facebook.
I mean, this guy's Fruit Loops.
I'm probably.
Well, it changes every day.
You don't have Fruit Loops, do you?
Yes, I do.
Come on,
I knew it.
I have the store brand, and I also have Rice Cocoa Krispies and Frosted Flakes.
Those are all like sugary.
Yeah, I know.
Wow. Okay, that was just a whole bag of sadness right there.
Speaking of a bag of cereal, yeah.
You're okay. I don't want to get into your health choices, Bash. If you want to go sugar cereal, that's great. Start your day with a sugar cereal. The fact that you go generic brand sugar cereal is even more depressing. But hey, definitely economically.
I'm making up for all the years that I couldn't have cereal in the morning because there was no lactose-free milk. So. Okay. I would have to have a bagel and a cup of coffee.
Okay.
Oh, see, that's sad now.
We're winding.
I'm making up for it.
We're winding back to the original question. Jerry Nunn, how often before you get out of bed in the morning are you already on social media?
Yeah, I'm in the bed.
And
I'm checking how many, all the likes and all that stuff, because it comes up quick.
Right. I think 95% of the time before I even go to the bathroom in the morning, I'm on social media.
Wow. Yeah. Right.
And it's...
We're addicted.
We are. Mm-hmm. And so here it is. The study is out. And it's a report from research at New York University and Stanford University. Those are two very intelligent universities. Mm-hmm. Universities that I definitely could not have gotten into out of Highland Park High School. Of course, I couldn't have gotten into many universities. But that's another story for another time. Leaving Facebook may be good for your emotional well-being.
Mm-hmm.
But you could be less informed about current events. Now, first of all, let me just make a public service announcement. That sucks that so many people, myself included, get their news from Facebook and from Google, and it is basically killing media.
Yeah.
Not just your traditional New York Times, Chicago Tribune media, but even the Deadspins, BuzzFeeds, all these companies are cutting their workforce because all we do is we go onto the Google, we go onto the Facebook, we get our news, and it doesn't really matter from any which source.
Right. I mean, but that's how things are traveling. So this week, my uncle passed away, and because my aunt posted on Facebook about it, I knew about it very early, called my mom. She's like, well, I wasn't going to tell you till dinner time. You know, she wanted me to work my whole day and not even know my uncle had passed away. But I found out about it on Facebook. That's how you find out about news.
You're hearing the same thing that I'm hearing, Tom. Badish, do you have the news playing in the background?
No, I do not.
That's interesting. That's coming from... Okay, well, I hope you can't hear that on the air, but me and Tom Hush are about to have a meltdown.
This happened last week, too. I was hearing things in the background, but we couldn't figure it out.
Okay, well, got gremlins in the system. That's all right. The point, Beer, is that a new report from researchers at New York University and Stanford University looked at what happened to people who deactivated their Facebook accounts, all right?
Mm-hmm.
The researchers paid people $102, $102, to turn off their Facebook account for 4 weeks. Would you have done that? Jerry Nunn, here's...
4 weeks?
Yep. I'll give
for
you $100. $100
a week.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I've done those research studies, so yeah, why not? I'd do it.
Right. Well, they got people to do it. I don't know if I would. $100 for 4 weeks?
Just for Facebook?
Yeah, just Facebook. I believe it's just Facebook.
Yeah, would you do it, Badish?
Well, yeah, because I got, I got Twitter and...
So you'd move to something else. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I don't use Facebook for news.
No, right. You're on there to talk about your favorite donut.
You're right. I actually use Twitter to follow the major news media.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I use.
All right. Well, so they paid people $102. Turn it up. The Facebook-free people, they reported being happier while not using the site, being less active online, and using other social media sites less. The study found the subjects were less polarized politically, but less informed about factual news after being off Facebook for a month.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know as much, but you're happier.
I mean, I've gone on vacations where I didn't, have Facebook and things like that. It was really refreshing to, get away from it for a while. Not just Facebook, but kind of everything. Lose contact and just enjoy your vacation, right?
Right. You're not going to know what Donald's talking about. Mm-hmm. You're not going to know who's going to win the Oscars.
Yeah.
You won't find out who won the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. but you'll be happier. We should all good. Mm. We all should be heading off to an island, is what the study's telling me.
Exactly. Get away.
Tom, thoughts? You look very perplexed in there.
Well, you know, it's I'm part of the millennial generation, man. I mean, I live my entire life on social media. We were like the first ones to be really indoctrinated into it. I mean, I remember when Twitter debuted, and that was like the biggest thing on earth. Everybody was like, "Oh, Twitter is like you got to be on it." But I can definitely see how it would make my life a lot better. I'd see a lot less, you know, things from my old high school classmates that I really don't care about anymore.
But yet you are competitive with them and want to be better than them, and you're kind of bothers you when they're doing well? Or am I just talking about myself?
No, I gotta admit it. Sometimes it happens. I look at stuff, I'm like, oh man, they're doing so good. But that's just what it is. It's the total FOMO thing. It's the social anxiety, and it's turned me into a mess.
FOMO, for those who don't know, means fear of missing out.
Yeah, and I think people have moved on to Instagram, right? Because they can get away from Facebook.
No, yeah, right. But that's the new. I mean, Instagram's not going to give you the news,
right?
But it will tell you what people are doing, where they're taking cool pictures.
Yeah.
People said they had about an hour more free time a day while their accounts were deactivated. And once the study was over, the majority chose to reactivate their Facebook accounts.
Oh, yeah.
Though most continued to use the social network less. The point being here is that they were happier, they didn't know as much. But when the study was over, they basically went right back to it.
Yeah, they went back to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 312-981-7200. Do you think you'd be more happy if you didn't use Facebook? And could you? And will anybody? I think there's a great chance that people believe this, Jerry, but yet they're unable to do it. Like, do you think you'd be happier without Facebook?
I mean, I know absolutely when I was off of it on vacation, I had a really nice time to be away from it. When I was in Israel, I didn't use it. So it was just nice to get away, and you come back refreshed. It felt like a vacation.
When were you in Israel?
Last year. I went for their big pride thing in Tel Aviv.
And how long were you off of Facebook?
Oh, gosh, it was like 7 days, so it wasn't like a long time. But it's noticeable.
7 days is forever.
Yeah.
You did it, man.
I did a lot. I went to Jerusalem, found Jesus, and no more Facebook.
Good job. Hey, if you're on hold, we'll get to you after a real, real quick time out here. Will you be a happier person if you give up Facebook? Perhaps some other social media, too. 720 WGN. Blackhawks winner earlier tonight.
Yeah.
Hey!
Heard it right here.
Got to pay back.
720 WGN, three in a row for the Hawks.
I need to get back in that suite.
Yes, you do, Jerry. We got to get you back in there.
I got my poncho, my Blackhawks poncho, ready to go.
Why do you need a poncho at
Blackhawks? I'm super sporty. It's about what you wear at these things, of course.
Well, why would you need a poncho?
To get in the spirit.
But a poncho.
Poncho is like for an outdoor event. The Hawks play indoors. Did you go to the outdoor game?
No, this was indoor. Yeah, I wore it when all the WGN people, we all went.
In a poncho?
Yeah.
Do you have a picture?
I do. I wore it in the studio that time. You don't remember?
Oh, you're talking about that's not a poncho. That's a sweater.
It wasn't a sweater. It's a blanket with a hole in the middle.
It's a blanket. It's not
a poncho is like what you wear to Six Flags when it's raining out.
Right.
It's plastic.
I swear this is called a poncho. Am I wrong?
It's a sweater that's got a hole in it.
What do you call the blanket with hole in it and you put your head in the middle? What's that called?
A snuggie?
I don't know.
Poncho is a thin, plastic, brutal thing you wear when it's raining.
Oh,
in my
gosh.
Mind. But no. Maybe you have an elite Blackhawks poncho.
I mean, you know what a Mexican poncho is, right? It's a blanket with a hole in the middle.
Right, but I just, you know, I didn't put two and two together.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to wear this all the time now.
Okay, well, next time we do a show, I'd love to see you in it.
Well, I'm going to wear it in here.
Hey, thank you for being patient. Mike, you want to talk about Facebook depressing you or perhaps something else that depresses you? What's up, Mike?
Yeah, hey. You know, it isn't Facebook. I was telling your producer that it's like, I'm 64 years old, and I think this goes back way before Facebook and things. Got out of college, got my first job, and I started reading the newspaper, and I got depressed, and I was, like, upset, and I was wondering, what the heck is going on? I quit reading the newspaper, and bingo, just like that, you know, I was happy again. And, you know, so ever since then, I've not, you know, I just don't watch the news. I am on Facebook, but, you know, it doesn't surprise me that if you're on Facebook for news and you're watching the news, so much of it is bad and opinionated that it would upset you. So it doesn't surprise me. It's worth the $100.
Let me ask you this, Mike, if I may. You say you listen to WGN Radio, right?
I do.
Okay, so when Roger Badish comes out and do the news in about 4 minutes, are you going to listen or are you going to tune off the station?
It just, you know what, it depends what, and here's the example I do. I'm retired, so I watch CNBC for stock information,
mm-hmm.
and when they bring on the political guys, you know, left or right, doesn't matter who, I turn the sound off. And when I see they've gone away, so if they've got Trump on, I turn it off. If they bring on Pelosi, I turn it off. And I find that I'm pretty well informed. I don't know how, mostly talking to my friends, but, you know, it's you know, I won't probably turn it off. I'm in the car. I'm driving to Cincinnati, but but I do turn off the news. I don't watch the news, but if there's a show like CNBC, I just, you know, when political stuff comes on because it's so divisive or it's bad news, but, you know, I will turn off the sound.
All right.
Yeah, I'm a lot like that. I totally agree.
Thanks, Mike.
I find the news really depressing, and I don't watch the news as much.
What's going on in Cincinnati, Mike? Why are you headed there? Tell us more about your life.
Well, so I have, I was fortunate enough to get involved with a racehorse, and she's going to work out tomorrow morning at 8:30 at Turfway Park, and so I'm going down there to watch her work out.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I probably won't get there till 2, and, you know, the horses work out at, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, so I'm not going to get much sleep tonight.
So you're getting in the car at 10, 11 at night. You're driving to Cincinnati to see a horse work out at 5 a.m.
Yes, I am. Bethel Ether.
Why did you leave so late in the day, Mike?
Good friends of mine were down in, lived down in Florida, and they just came back in town for a wedding and wanted to meet me at Saku up in Libertyville for dinner, and I said I would. And, that was the reason, just to meet with my friends.
So you were planning on leaving earlier, but since your friends were in town, you delayed the departure just to be with your people that you love.
Yep, I did.
You're a beautiful man, Mike.
What's this horse's name? What's the horse's name?
Ethel Ether. E-T-H-Y-L Ether.
Get it?
It's a type of accelerant. Ethyl ether is a type of accelerant, and the filly's name, the filly's mother was accelerant, and so hence Ethyl ether.
Wow. Okay.
Does horse have a shot, or is this a complete shot in the dark?
No, she's got a shot. She's won two, run second twice, and we brought her up from Kentucky to Arlington Park last summer, and she ran second up at Arlington. To a real good stakes horse.
Mike, how'd you get interested in horses?
My mother grew up, you know, school teachers, my mom and dad both, but my mother loved the races and taught my brother and I about them. And so she's passed away 8, 9, 10 years ago, and, you know, this opportunity came along to get a share of this, you know, filly, and
yeah,
took the opportunity.
Are you rich?
Yeah, it was fun. Am I rich?
Uh-huh.
I'm not the 1%. That's what you mean. No.
He's rich in spirit.
Maybe the 2%.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I'll be people that own horses, they got a couple dollars, which, by the way, if you are, congratulations. Nothing wrong with being rich, Mike.
No, thanks. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I traveled around the world quite a bit, and, you know, I've been to India, I've been to Africa, and pretty much everybody in America is rich compared to a lot of people in those countries.
Well, let's remember that you just said that. That's awesome. All right, we got to get to news, Mike. I could talk to you all night.
All right, thanks. See you guys.
Yep.
See ya.
We just learned a lot there, Jerry.
Yeah, I really liked Mike. I liked his accent, too, wherever that was from.
Those were straight answers.
Yeah.
No hesitation.
Nope.
Right up. Do we have to break here, Tom? We do? Okay. All right. 312-981-7200. Mike, you travel safe. As we, I feel happier with that. Was way better than any Facebook experience.
Yeah. Mike, real people.
Mike just lifted up everybody who was listening.
Yeah.
At least he lifted me up. All right, quick timeout, 720 WGN. 11:38. With you till 1 a.m. Our Kerman, Jerry Nunn. Tom Hush producing. Baddish in the newsroom. Adam Phillips is somewhere in the building doing something. Our incredible engineer. All right. Jerry, people are defending you on the ponchos thing.
Good.
Text line 312-981-7200. Jerry wore a poncho to a Blackhawks game that wasn't really a poncho, but...
I'm taking pictures of myself as soon as I get home with that poncho. And just going to tweet it out, Facebook it out, send you text, everything I can do.
Do the whole thing. 224, ponchos come in many different materials. Clint Eastwood wore one in the good, the bad, and the ugly,
yes,
made out of wool.
Sir.
That's true.
Yes, sir. That's a classic.
Did yours look like Clint's?
Similar.
Okay.
But it had the Blackhawks on it.
All right. What did you call it? A serape?
I didn't call it that.
No one called it that.
But maybe somebody did on Twitter, huh?
No one called... What did you use some word that was... No? Am I doing the show by myself here?
What cold medicine are you on? I'm going to take pictures. I mean, I wore it that one time. You just forgot.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Also, people are, as far as the Facebook deal, Facebook depresses me more and more because my friends are all having grandkids, and any of my own are far in the future, if at all. I mute the friends who share political stuff. Now, that's a weird one. Like, you're jealous of people having the grandkids because you're... I would think you'd be happy that you're, like, not having the grandkids because you're maybe a little bit younger, that your grandkids' day will come down the line. It's my father calling in on line one, which is scary.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You'd, like, recognize the number.
No, I know the number.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Facebook makes things look glamorous. You know, Instagram, all that. They don't think about... It's like cute puppy dogs and things like that people get jealous of, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to see what my father has to say tonight. Tom, don't worry, you don't have to screen him. I'll talk to my father. We'll talk to Dad. It's Papa Fred, who I wanted to make Papa Fred a consistent thing on the show. Dad, good evening.
Hello.
Yeah, hey Dad, how are you?
I'm calling with regard to this last guy you had who says that he turns off and doesn't listen when there's any political news, Trump or anti, either for Trump or anti-Trump.
Right.
I think it's disgusting and sad. We're lucky to have a country where we have the right to elect our people, and this takes being informed about what's happening. Does this guy have any concern at all about climate change? Does he have any concern at all about Russia meddling in our elections?
Hold on, no.
I can see where you get it from.
How can he complain about what happens when he won't keep himself informed? We need everybody, including you and me and everybody else, to take the time and have the responsibility if we love this country, so that we make the best decisions we can.
Dad?
And I find that it's not funny at all that this guy just turns off the radio or whatever whenever he gets political news.
Hold on. Now, Fred, we got to have a conversation here, Dad. Let's have a little back and forth. I appreciate your passion. And
am I on now?
Yes, we are on the radio right now. Yes,
okay,
we're still going. The whole whole city's hearing you, Dad. The 38 states. The whole thing here, and so
okay.
You. This is part of what was made me myself here, by the way, and I appreciate all of it. However, it is his right, is it not? He doesn't have to if he doesn't want to pay.
This is his right. He can put his head in the sand. It's his right, sure.
Yeah.
Does he have any obligation as a citizen of the United States to contribute to be informed? What he does affects all of us. Well, I mean, people may agree one way or the other, but they have an obligation as citizens of this country to keep themselves informed and make the best judgment, whether it's whether they like what Trump's doing or don't like what Trump's doing. That's their obligation. And to make light of that is really not at all funny. I don't know if he's being cute or not. I turn off the radio whenever there's any political news.
He didn't say he turned off the radio. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't.
But he
doesn't watch the news.
But what does he watch, huh?
Well,
does he read the newspaper? What the hell does he do? Anyway,
is there
I don't
way
want
to
beat up anymore. I've made my point here. Okay.
Thanks for listening to the show.
All right, bye.
Okay.
I mean, but is there a way for him to get the news without getting depressed about it or getting too involved?
See, that's a window into how I, you know, look. When I grew up in the Carmen household, mm-hmm. we would have, with my father who was just on there, we would have the news on.
Sure.
Okay?
I'm sure you did.
And back in the day, it would be, you know, so-and-so got, just like today in its own right, so-and-so was shot, so-and-so this, so-and-so that.
Right.
And my dad would, you know, he'd be cursing the whole newscast.
Okay.
Oh, that's terrible, that's terrible, that's terrible, that's terrible, that's terrible, that's terrible, that's
so
terrible.
So he's very affected by it, you're saying.
Well, you know, he would just have, it would just, he, that was some place where he, A, wanted to know what was going on, and mm-hmm. then he would allow it to, you know.
Affect him.
Affect him,
yeah.
And then, you know, and I'm sitting there like, you know, I don't want to watch the news, because
sure.
we're going to sit there and now we're going to be super upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing every day. Of course, you turn on the news, somebody got shot somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's terrible. It's not good. But what are we going to do about it?
Right.
You know? So,
I mean, it does wear on you, right? It does, like, I mean, it's very hard to not be affected by some of the stories and stuff. And for me, it is, can be very depressing, you know?
So. Yeah. And look, I appreciate Papa Fred bringing that, being informed.
It's important.
And contributing to society,
yeah,
community, all of that is important.
Right.
However, the other side of it is like, look, if you're a good person in your corner of the world,
mm-hmm.
the people that you touch every single day, if you're on some island somewhere and you don't have, you know, you're, mm-hmm. you're in a, let's say you're in a third world country.
Yeah.
You don't have a computer in front of you. You don't have TV. You're not paying attention to what's going on politically. And yet to your neighbor, you're whatever, helping them out, bringing them food,
mm-hmm.
being somebody they can talk to. I mean, I think that's a great citizen right there.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking of, like, you know, going out in nature and not, you know, on Facebook or not dealing with the news and all that stuff. And how happy some of those people are.
Right. The people that want to disconnect from society and you know, live in the wilderness, live off the land.
Uh-huh.
Very few people like that out there, but I don't think they're doing anything per se wrong that they're living their life.
Yeah. I was thinking of this movie, Captain Fantastic. I don't know if you saw it with Viggo Mortensen, where he takes his kids and just gets away from society. It really kind of talks about all that.
Now that's different.
Yeah.
Because now you're taking kids with you.
Right. Well, there's a big controversy in the movie about it. So,
right. Well, what do you think about that, Jerry?
They really show the other side to it, that how the kids are affected, and yeah. But it starts off with, you know, him taking, you know, the Swiss Family Robinson to be out in the wilderness and teach them different things and how to adapt with, you know, the wilderness.
Yeah.
So
now people on the text line are attacking my father.
Oh.
Well, some of them are saying he's a patriot, man.
He is. Your dad has a stick up his butt. Lighten up, man. Hey, listen, he's a passionate. And then 773, Mark, your dad is my new spirit animal. 815, I am with your dad. Mm. Yes, you're right on that big Mr. Carmen in my mind. I see a giant American flag, and I can hear the national anthem behind Pop's Carmen.
Oh, boy.
See, it's interesting with my father, too, because, my, you know, he's 93.
Okay.
And he fought in World War II.
Uh-huh.
Totally different time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, all of it, him and his friends, they all enlisted, wanted to take on Hitler. You know, I mean, totally different than any, you know, wars that we have now.
Right.
But yet, like, you know, my father going to a sporting event, he could, whether there's the national anthem playing or not, like, we would have the conversation, why do we have to have the national anthem at every sporting event? Like, that'd be a conversation I'd have with my dad. We don't play it at the movie theaters. So it's, you know, why do I have to have it before, you know, a baseball game? Which is a conversation that people can have.
Yeah.
You know, so it's he's
passionate.
He loves the country, pays a ton of attention to what's going on, extremely passionate, writes letters to whoever. John Cass gets a letter a week from him.
So how do we get him and Mike in a room together? How do we get these two together and really put on the show?
I think that would work out fine. I think Mike was just having a good time.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a real quick timeout. 312-981-7200. It's 720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Friday night. Mark Harmon and Jerry Nunn with you. Got a very, very important final hour of the show coming up here. But first, is your dad calling in tonight, Jerry? Dad's still alive?
He's still alive. He's in Gulf Shores because, you know, Tennessee is too cold for him. So he heads down south in the trailer. So, yeah, if you want to talk to Don Nunn.
In the Nunn trailer?
Yeah.
Is Mama Nunn in the...
Mama Nunn is there.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And their dog that I gave them.
You gave your parents a dog?
Yeah, I couldn't handle it. It was too much. It was this dog.
You're one of those types that goes out and gets the dog and then realizes that taking the dog out and feeding the dog is just way too much of a commitment.
My ex brought that dog home from La Calle Bente Seis on the south side.
What's La Calle Bente Seis?
26th Street.
Oh, okay.
And he worked over there and brought the dog home, and that dog had abandonment issues. It was this little weenie dog, and I had to give it to my mom.
Yeah.
So she takes care of it. She loves that dog.
Well, so it worked out well. Everybody had their heart in the right place, and you found a better home for the dog.
Yeah.
Sharing is caring.
Right.
And that's a win all around.
Yep, but they're all down there in Gulf Shores.
A lot of people texting in about my father here. Mark, your dad is awesome. I can relate. Mine is 97 and a World War II vet. He still reads the Wall Street Journal every day and follows local and national politics. We have spirited discussions about all of it. Mark, your dad sounds nowhere near 93. His voice and his passion for life. Enjoying you and Jerry. Oh, and congrats on your engagement. Thank you, 708.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it. We had our first... I was gone this week, right, at the Super Bowl, so we had time away. The first time we've been engaged with time away.
Oh, okay.
Set up some boundaries, Jerry, you know?
Was she making plans, or what was she doing?
She had the greatest time ever when I was gone.
Oh.
I said, how much did you enjoy me not being around? I really enjoyed it. Oh, yeah? What'd you enjoy? Well, everything was neat. Things were in their place. I didn't have to worry about cleaning up after you.
Wow. Fewer hot takes.
I mean,
significantly less hot takes.
It was like I was a 6-year-old, you know, and going to clean up after you.
Right.
I don't have to cook for you.
Are you sloppy at home or what?
I don't think I am, okay. Jerry. Mm. I think I'm an excellent.
We all think that, and then we go home, and then we find out, you know.
I mean.
Is she calling in here in a minute?
I doubt it. Although she is listening. But I mean, you know, I came home today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was clothes in the dryer.
Okay.
I folded the clothes. They weren't my clothes. That's the type of
it's a team effort.
That's the type of partner I am.
Hold on, let me get you a medal.
I think I deserve a medal for that. Folding clothes takes time. I'm a busy guy over here.
Mark, if you want this 1% that you're going to get next year at the Gayhaus, you're going to have to really step it up. Okay?
I do the dishes every now and then.
Okay.
I clean my bath.
Fold the laundry.
I fold the laundry. I take out the garbage.
Okay. Wow, you sound really defensive.
Yeah.
No, there's, guilty.
They're
a little guilty.
Guilty as charged, yeah. No doubt. 262, the greatest generation. Lucky to have your father. Best wishes. Indeed I am.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. So, but yeah, at any rate, this is the first time, first 5 days away. We did the I don't know what people do nowadays, but the call at night and the call in the morning. A good night and a good morning.
Oh, like FaceTime?
We didn't. Sometimes this was just a regular call.
Okay.
But I think the FaceTime is nice.
Yeah.
I'm not big into FaceTime.
You don't like the FaceTime?
No. I'm a little bit, I haven't gotten ready in the morning. You know, I don't have my face on.
You gotta look good.
Yeah, if I'm going to do a FaceTime, I need to be looking at least about an 8 or a 9.
Yeah, I have not been looking good, so I'm just going straight at it.
Yeah, one of my friends FaceTimed me this week and then goes, that's not a good angle for you. I'm like, you FaceTimed me. I wasn't ready.
I wasn't ready. That's rude, Jerry.
I thought so.
That's not a friend that you want to keep.
I know.
No. Everyone's allowed one big comment. All right, we got to take a quick timeout, get you to news right on time. And yes, Roger will have it for you in 3 minutes, 720 WGN. I have to say this to all. I can lock all my doors. It's the only way to live in cars. Staring like all, like another. 720 WGN. We have entered into Saturday, February the 2nd. Good morning if you're a super early riser, mm-hmm, working that 2 a.m. shift. Jerry Nunmark Carmen. Jerry, how are you?
Excellent. Yeah.
So before we get to the fact that you want to talk about the auto show, which is amazing to me, before I came in tonight to get ready to be on the air with you,
yeah,
because you're a movie guy, you're an entertainment guy, mm-hmm, I watched Roma.
Okay. I'm dying to hear what you're going to say about it.
So, well, first of all, for people who don't know Roma, mm-hmm, subtitles.
Yes.
Takes place in the early 70s.
Black and white.
Black and white. Story revolves around a maid servant with a family, mm-hmm, who's got a, you know, big family, I think 4 kids, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And the husband is non-existent. Has basically left the mom to survive and take care of the kids, and there's just drama every which way.
Right.
And the maid, who they also refer to as a servant in the film, ends up getting pregnant, mm-hmm, and I won't ruin the movie for those who haven't seen it from there. Right?
Yeah, don't spoil anything. Well, what'd you think of it?
I don't normally make it through a black and white subtitled movie, uh-huh, especially when I've worked all week 14-hour days doing the Super Bowl, and I was up through the whole thing. So okay. I give the movie a thumbs up. It was, uh-huh, it was very disturbing,
okay,
and upsetting at times, which is all good.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd make it my best picture,
right,
but I liked the film, but I was a little bit confused by, like, what exactly was this... the point of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a very odd start to the film. It was like you dropped in on... Did you see it, Tom?
Yeah, I adored it.
Okay, so it's like you dropped in on someone's life at the start, mm-hmm, and then you just left it, and as life was just going to go along. There was no fitting start and no bow on it at the end. So I kind of walked away like, I'm not exactly sure what you wanted me to exactly get out of the film, other than that's a messy life, and it's an interesting time. We've come a long way, in other ways we haven't. But that's I sort of wanted it to be tidied up for me, and maybe I just have to sit with that.
Hmm.
What would you say?
I think it's a movie, like, have you ever seen Boyhood, or even, here's one that, mm-hmm, everybody's seen, Dazed and Confused?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So Dazed and Confused is a movie, really, you know, pretty simple concept. Kids in high school, it's the last day of school. Like, what is the, you have to ask yourself, what is the plot of that movie, and what is that movie about? Because those are two different things. There's a plot of Roma, of like what is literally happening. And then there's what is Roma about? And that second question is something more difficult, something more personal.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's it about for you?
To me, it's about the class struggle between two groups of people in Mexico. So this is, oh my God, Alfonso Cuarón. Mm-hmm. He grew up pretty upper middle class, if not wealthy, light skin Mexican. And he grew up with having maids that were, you know, usually of indigenous background, darker skin. generally, you know, working in the lower classes. And it's not so much about, you know, what the family goes through with the father. And also there seems to be like political unrest in the background. But it's about watching the dynamic between these two groups of people, how they interact, how they help each other, how they're necessary to each other's lives in a sense. So that's why I really enjoyed it, is watching these things happen without necessarily getting a nice resolution. And there kind of is.
I would have settled for a bad resolution, but I like how you're summing it up there. And
sometimes there's no resolution to life. Sometimes it just kind of ends. Well, certain parts just end.
Most times.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jerry?
I thought it was a little too artsy for its own good, in my opinion. I didn't like the scrubbing of the floors I did not need to see that for that amount of time. This was about the director. It's about the director.
Okay.
It's about his experiences as childhood, but he just dwells upon some stuff that it just feels really drawn out to me. I was just, you know, I enjoyed some parts of it, but I just did not love that movie. But it's probably going to win Best Picture. He's probably going to win Best Director.
Is that the favorite?
I mean, I think don't see a movie, because it's nominated for both Best Picture and Best Foreign Language.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So there's a chance that they might just give that movie the throw it the bone with Best Foreign Language and go with something else for Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's an argument for Best Picture, but
who do you think is the Best Picture?
Who's going to win, or who do I want to win?
I think we should get some background out there to both Jerry and you, the WGN listener. Tom used to or still does work in a movie theater?
I still work in a movie theater, and I still host a movie podcast here on WGN Plus.
So this is a very authoritative voice you're listening to here.
I mean, I worked in a movie theater in high school.
Hell yeah.
And you really appreciate things. You see how people are slobs and leave stuff everywhere.
Oh, man. I have found like a full rotisserie chicken, like eaten rotisserie chicken under a seat.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
it's amazing. I love people.
They bring in all that food and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I mean,
if you're not sneaking food into the movie theater, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah. I mean, when you work there, you can have the popcorn maker and you just get the fresh popcorn out of it.
See, that I don't understand. So like my fiance will, she'll bring in Skinny Pop.
To the theater?
Yeah. And I'm like, look.
Oh no.
That's one thing. Like, if you want to sneak in my mind, at least a beverage, okay. But like the popcorn at the theater, like to me, that's worth paying for.
Yeah, it's better than like the pop. It's not like it's better than Act Two. It's better than your Orville Redenbacher. There's a tier system, and you know, movie theater popcorn always winds up at the top.
These are the candidates for Best Picture: Roma, Star Is Born, Vice. I haven't seen Vice, Green Book, Black Klansman, Black Panther, The Favorite, didn't see that either, and Bohemian Rhapsody. So what's the voting around the room here? Jerry, who are you going with?
I love the diversity in all those movies, first of all. I just love...
Uh-huh.
I really liked all of them.
I would vote for A Star Is Born.
Yeah.
You know, of the ones that I've seen. I've seen Roma, A Star Is Born, Green Book. So I got some work to do here.
I liked Green Book a lot, but I think Roma's going to win.
Well, I'm disappointed with Green Book because the story's not accurate. There's there's all sorts of stuff coming on. The family's very disappointed. They didn't do the proper background.
He was never friends with his employee.
They didn't tell a true story. It's good. Yeah. It was great. I liked the movie a ton.
Yeah.
But now finding out that it wasn't accurate, I'm not going to give you Best Picture. Still enjoy the movie. Cute movie, but you can't get Best Picture.
So then Bohemian Rhapsody would be out too, because that wasn't accurate.
Right. Well, yeah. Okay.
So that would be out.
And that was like the most vanilla movie of the year. I'm sorry. And I love Queen. And I love Rami Malek. He was great in it. But I watched that movie. I was like, you know, maybe this could have been done a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
It was just very vanilla. It was okay.
It's a polarizing movie because a lot of people didn't like it, and then some really loved it.
Yeah, so, if you liked it, I mean, no hate or anything like that. But
so, what are you going with?
I would say that's a tough one. I would say it could. I say could be between Green Book and Roma. Personally, out of these, I'd pick Black Klansman.
That's
I love that.
Oh, I haven't seen
Spike Lee's going to get Best Director. They owe him big time.
Mm, Yeah, that's a great movie.
All right, that's next on the docket. Tomorrow, I'm watching Black Klansman.
Yeah, you would like it.
I bet I would.
Yeah.
I wanted to see it right when it came out. I just missed it.
The Favorite is great for a period piece that some
so
people
funny,
don't,
too.
Some people don't like period pieces. That is the movie for them.
Who has the time to see all these films? When do you guys, what do you do?
I go to screenings. I went to screenings. Yeah, I go to them all the time.
Daytime. Yeah. Underrated, going to movies during the day by yourself. Underrated.
That's true, and you don't have to sell it to me. I enjoy a nice daytime film, but I mean, I work. I can't do that. You guys have better line.
We're night people.
Yeah, I go after work to screenings all the time. So
okay,
yeah.
Well, you're
it's kind of a job.
You're cool like that. I get it. All right, let's come back and actually talk about the auto show. We'll do that next here. Jerry's a huge fan of the auto show. He's going to sell you as to why you should go out to the auto show, and then we're going to relive Jerry's time at the boat show, too. 720 WGN. 720 WGN. The Chicago Auto Show. February the 9th to the 18th at McCormick Place. And Jerry Nunn, you are going to be there.
Oh, I'm excited to be there.
Why?
I'd gone years ago, skipped a few years, went last year, and I just thought it was so much fun because they've updated it where you can hop in the cars and they do this test drives around these tracks. So you get to actually do little rides around.
Wait, what? You can drive the cars now in there?
They have a driver, but you're going all terrain, going up hills, mountains, all kinds of cool stuff. Really fun.
They have a mountain built at McCormick Place?
Yeah. And you go uphill and crazy stunts.
Virtual reality, or is the car actually moving here?
No, the car's moving. No, you're in the car. They'll drive really fast and stop and show you the brakes. I mean, it is hair-raising and fun.
Are you serious?
Yeah. There's a lot of test driving now. It used to not be like that. It used to just be the cars around.
Because whenever I've gone to the auto show, and it's, people love it.
Right.
To each his own.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we're doing shows out there.
I'm not even a car person, and I really have a good time. I mean, do you want me to take you this time or what?
Nah, I'm good.
No?
I just like that you do these things. Last time we did a show, you went to the boat show.
I went to the boat show, and you had to take your shoes off, and I was upset about that.
You took your shoes off. You're laying around in some boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now you're going to the auto show.
Right. I'm
going to
keep my shoes on.
You keep your shoes on. You're going to drive up massive terrain. Are you going to buy a car?
So I had a car accident last week.
Yeah?
And this lady rammed me into a bunch of cars on State Street. And so I had to go get my car fixed and worked on. And I was in the Toyota dealership, and they showed me this new smart car. And it's got an iPad right in the middle of the dash. I mean, it is the coolest thing. So I'm totally going to get a smart car this summer when the weather gets better.
Hold on a second.
Was that too much?
Let's rewind back. You were in a car accident where you were driving down State Street and you got hit from behind.
Right.
And then you hit the car in front of you?
Yes.
And what happened to your car?
It's totally smashed.
Totally smashed.
The front and the back.
Not totaled?
No.
Not totally
totaled?
Just
the bumpers. Yeah, just the bumpers.
Just a smashed situation?
Right.
Okay. Have you gotten the car back?
Yeah, I went on to the event. I went to the first. I was going to an event at the Field Museum again.
have you not taken the car in?
I took it into the dealership, to get oil change.
Yeah.
And they checked it out, and then their car wash ate my bumper, and it's totally gone.
You're driving around in a car with no bumper?
Right, no bumper. So this is actually kind of good weather for that, because I got nothing to lose here. I can just.
Yeah, but you're Jerry Nunn, man of power, who's going to the auto show.
Yeah, well, I'm getting all this, I'll get it fixed, but I want a new car, I think, this summer with a really smart, brand new car.
And what do you like about the smart car?
All the gadgets and stuff, the buttons.
You like the...
I mean, and I love a good Toyota.
Wait.
Yeah.
You just want to push buttons in your car.
Yeah, I'd like it. Oh, it's got this cool camera thing in front that protects you from crashes and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's very high tech and super cool.
I mean, if you haven't been this excited the whole show, your whole face is lighting up right now.
But Jerry, if you buy a smart car,
Roger.
I'm sorry, because I'm visualizing this.
Okay.
So you were stopped in traffic. There was a car in front of you.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so you have the smart car that warns you of cars getting too close to you. And that's a great idea. I love that. But if you're stuck in traffic and you can't get out of the way. Mm. All the smart cars in the world aren't going to help you when the guy behind you slams into you.
Well, that's what happened when she did slam into me, but supposedly the smart car is going to warn me even more because I was waiting for the light to change. And
Bettis, your point is that Jerry's going to get run into no matter what?
Well, not necessarily. I'm just looking for the escape route for him in his car when he gets that early warning.
When I get the warning.
Can you quickly move your car out of the way without hitting another car?
I bet I can. I mean, I've never had a car accident ever. This is my first car accident in my whole life. I'm 49.
That's pretty darn good.
So I've been doing real well.
Yeah, by the time I was 49, the police had a catalog.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I've had...
You too?
Oh, it's bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
I started at 16,
mm-hmm.
and then, yeah.
I got pulled over for suspicion of mischief.
What kind of mischief?
I was driving around with a deployed airbag.
Why were you doing that?
I just, for some reason, the airbag like malfunctioned or something, and it deployed. So I was trying to go to like an auto show, like or not auto show, auto shop to like get it fixed. The cops pulled me over. I was just like, "Is there something wrong, officer?" And he's like, "Yeah, you're driving around with a deployed airbag."
Can you like poke a hole in it?
I didn't even see it. That's like a lot.
I was like pushing it around. Like I got it to deflate kind of. I just need to get it back in the actual steering wheel.
Yeah, ooh. Right. You're trying to push it in.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
The old deployed airbag pullover.
Yeah, really.
That's not good there, Tom.
Mischief. That's a mischief.
Suspicion of mischief.
did you say tell me something I don't know and that's when he gave you the ticket?
Well, he asked me when my birthday was and I was like November 4th. And he said what year and I said every year. He's just like, oh, this kid's going to get it. I'm going to throw the book at him.
Oh, wow.
Don't be a smarty.
I would have taken you to jail on that one.
I figured I'd get a laugh out of him, but no, it didn't
really. No, they're not jokesters.
You're not. Son, you showing me that you're smarter than me is not going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
But I can relate to Tom Hush in that at least a little bit. 1991, of course, that was the year the Bulls first won their first NBA championship. I was a senior in high school, and we drove around Highland Park, Illinois, and we were honking that horn.
You were up to mischief.
Yeah, and then we got a ticket for incessant honking. And I'm like, the Bulls just won the title. Jordan's been trying to get over the hump his entire career. Can we not honk the horn here in downtown HP? But it didn't work out for us, Jerry.
No, you got a ticket.
Yeah, and now to the auto show, buddy.
Yeah.
See, I just every time I go in the auto show, I just get jealous. That sweet car, I know I can't afford it. Mm-hmm. New cars are a bad buy. Always got to go used. What's everybody doing here? You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Well, I mean, I just, it's the future. It sounds like you're scared of the future and like the
brand. Maybe I am. Maybe that's entirely possible. How many days are you going to go to the auto show, Jerry? Is that a one day?
Well, I like to go to there's like a VIP thing at the beginning, so I like to go to that.
Uh-huh.
So
they're going to feed you?
First looks. Yeah, they have some food. It's fancy, dressed up. So, yeah.
You're going to wear a tux to the auto show?
That's what people do. Yeah.
Are you serious?
A big deal. Mm-hmm.
You're going to wear a tux?
That preview show. Is that when you go, Jerry?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you got to dress up for that.
Yeah, it's fancy. It's a fundraiser.
Very fancy.
Have you been, Roger?
Not to that one. No, I don't have...
Do you own a tux?
No.
Oh,
the only tux I ever wore was actually senior prom, high school.
Hmm.
I was going through, you know, I just moving.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going through my closet.
Right.
I'm donating the tux. There's no way.
What are you going to wear to your wedding?
Not that tux.
With the ruffles. The big ruffles.
Seinfeld ruffles.
We are 1,000% not having any black tie wedding. No chance.
No?
No.
What's the plan?
Let's go there. Well, the biggest development is that we've hired a wedding planner.
Okay.
Which I think is super weird, but
Is he gay? Is it a gay?
No, it's a woman. Oh. I guess it could be a gay woman. But no, this woman is not gay. Okay. We have a woman.
Okay.
She's going to get it done. She's making, in my mind, way too much money to plan a wedding.
I think it's really important to have a wedding planner. You know that, right?
You do?
Because it takes so much off of you guys and does so much. Let her be the middleman. She can be the bad guy. She can control things. It's very important. Believe me, I bartend at weddings all the time. I know exactly how it goes. It's a really important job. So whatever she's getting paid, she deserves.
She deserves it, huh?
Uh-huh. I'm telling you.
Okay. What are you telling? Okay. So what is she going to do? She's going to call up the venue. We're going to tell her, hey, we like this venue. And then she calls up the venue. And the next thing you know, the venue's in.
On your special day, instead of you bossing people around, she is going to take charge and like get everyone in line, get everyone to...
I don't know if I want somebody getting people in line and bossing them around in my way. You just chill out. That's your car. Right.
And they would run wild if like she wasn't there for you.
Yeah. What else is she going to do?
Organize everything.
She's going to be on the phone. Hey... Do you want this? Do you want that?
She makes sure you're happy.
Okay. So I'm in. We're a wedding planner. Done.
Yeah, so you got a wedding planner. Okay.
Do you have a wedding planner, Roger?
No. Ours, no. we got, because we had some issues with the religion. On both sides of the family, and we couldn't come to an agreement. And so we had the wedding in my parents' front room with a judge.
Aw.
Wow.
That's kind of sweet.
It's lasted so long. Come on. It's great.
43 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that?
Sounds thrilled.
I know.
Yeah. Let's put it this way.
Her name is Bridget?
Yes. Bridget Kathleen.
What's the number one thing you learned in your marriage, Roger? No pressure.
How not to be in control all the time.
Oh.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
Giving up control is a big deal.
Yeah. It's an everyday thing.
Yeah.
Every day.
It's on both sides.
We just had a moment of depth on the show that we've not reached yet. Thank you, Banish. Mm-hmm. Giving up control.
You can learn from that.
Yeah.
Well, you got a partner in life, Jerry.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
What are you saying? I could learn from that. You think I'm a control freak?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just learning about folding laundry from you.
I think Jerry's got a judgment on me that might be very accurate.
I mean, I'm very judgy. I can't help it.
That's okay.
I was raised that way.
We're all judgmental. People who say that, I don't judge. Liar.
Right.
Flat out liar. Super Bowl 53, Jerry.
I'm so excited.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right.
I get excited. We have a big party every year.
I want to know... Mm-hmm. What you know about the Super Bowl. I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Okay.
So what number Super Bowl is this?
Can you give me an easier question to start off?
Do you not know?
No.
I literally just said it coming right back out of the break.
Oh, yeah.
I said Super Bowl. And I started with a... Super Bowl 53.
53?
Yeah.
There's been that many?
Yeah, that's so funny. We just gave up. Like, Super Bowl 53, I'm so excited. What Super Bowl is it? I have no idea.
Listen, I'm an easy target with this stuff, but I am excited about, I always get excited about the commercials.
Right.
Which I think it's weird that they're already coming out early.
Well, that's promotion, Jerry.
Yeah, but there's tons of celebs in all these commercials.
Right.
So.
Well, hold on, let's start with the basics here.
Okay.
Who is representing the NFC?
Like the sports team?
Yeah. There are two conferences. There's the NFC and the AFC.
Okay.
And those two conferences determine a champion. Uh-huh. The NFC champion gets awarded a trophy that George Halas, the original NFL guru, owner of the Bears, the Halas family.
Okay.
So the NFC champion is who?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know about sports.
Do you know you don't know what teams are playing in the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Okay. Just because I looked them up.
Okay, who's playing?
The New England Patriots and the Los Angeles Rams.
So take a guess as to which one's in the NFC. One of those two is.
NFC.
Go with the Rams.
Okay. The Los Angeles Rams?
Right, absolutely. The Rams are in the NFC, and the Patriots are in the AFC. See, you're an expert.
Sure.
Right there. So the beauty of this, by the way, is that it doesn't matter who the teams are. It doesn't matter Tom Brady, greatest quarterback of all time. You're dialed in for the Super Bowl. You're excited because what do you got going on?
Like the commercials, the halftime show, the food at the party.
Do you have a favorite Maroon 5 song?
Oh, I mean, Moves Like Jagger would be really fun.
Right.
To see if Mick Jagger like shows up.
Yeah, okay.
So that would be fun.
Right.
You know, Cardi B might show up, but then we're saying she might not.
That'd be big.
I mean, he's a performer. You know, the halftime shows have been amazing.
I love the halftime show.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah, no matter who is, when Madonna was out there, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Prince.
Gaga,
Tom Petty. Yeah. I mean, all of it.
Sure.
I think it's, and okay. I just don't understand where they get the people to come out of the stands or from underneath the stands who all come onto the field and they're just so excited just to jump and down and up and down and go crazy.
I would go. I think it would be so much fun. See, that would be great.
I'm just, that's my role. I'm going to be on the field at the Super Bowl. I'm going to dance like I've never danced before.
Yeah.
It's aggressive.
I mean, they seem like the shows get better and better all the time, too. Like, people are stepping up, and, you know, it's got to be even bigger and better.
Right. And it's an interesting time with artists and the Super Bowl and the NFL, because the NFL is very polarizing.
Right.
Especially with progressive people.
Yep.
And musicians do tend to be that. Mm-hmm. Maroon 5, normally there's a press conference before the event. Maroon 5 said, nah, we're not doing that.
Why did they say that?
I'm not exactly sure.
I mean, you were down there.
They didn't talk to me about it.
I mean, but nobody was talking about it. That seems weird.
Yeah.
I mean, Madonna doesn't do a lot of press. She doesn't do a lot of interviews, but she did it.
I mean, if you're going to do it, it's part of the deal. Hey, real quick, before we move on here with the Super Bowl, Mike from Cicero, you call it this time. We don't want to keep you waiting forever. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Carl. I'm a huge fan. Haven't heard you in weeks, but followed you forever. Love your versatility on the air. So I got to ask your opinion because I know you're a basketball fan like I am.
Okay.
Help me sign this petition. What do you think? The Bulls hiring Dwayne Wade as a coach?
What makes you think Dwayne Wade wants to coach the Bulls?
Well, I don't know if he... Well, anything is possible. Anything is negotiable. But here's the thing. You know, he brokered the LeBron James deal. He has star power. It would change the perception of the Bulls around the league. Anthony Davis is out there. What do you think?
Mike, I appreciate all the kind words. And I even appreciate the sentiment of Dwayne Wade coaching the Bulls. But it's not going to happen, man. We know this. There's like zero. That's like a negative 10% chance.
Why would you say that?
Because I don't think Dwayne Wade's going to become a head coach in the NBA, let alone the Bulls are going to reach out to Dwayne Wade and after he retires and say, do you want to coach the team? I mean, that's completely out of left field, my friend. Are you in the river right now? Mike, appreciate you, brother. Thanks for calling.
All right, take care.
I mean, I think the Bulls might have a new coach, but it's certainly not going to be that. Mm-hmm. I know you had deep thoughts on that one.
Sure.
Yeah. So what's the Super Bowl plan here, Jerry? What are you
going to
do?
So I'm going to a big party that we have every year.
Do you have to bring anything?
You're supposed to bring a nice covered dish.
Are you bringing something?
Sure, yeah, I'll bring something. I don't really cook, so it might be, you know.
Like something that you buy at Target?
Maybe I should like ask my mom. Maybe I can make like a Frito casserole or something.
Doesn't your mom live in Tennessee?
Yeah, but I mean, I can phone a friend.
Phone a friend, she can tell you how to do it?
Yeah.
You're really thinking about this.
Frito casserole is the move.
That would be yummy. People would love that.
Okay. I mean, I think you should step it up.
Yeah.
Well, you're obviously not going to like sit there and dazzle them with your football knowledge. You bring in a nice dish.
You don't know the crowd that I'm going with. Like, nobody's into this. I'm going with, there's very few people into the sports.
So why even do it? Like, just to
because it's like a party.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Are you going to a party over there, Tom?
No, I'm not, despite being a Pats fan. I'm going to go see a Jackie Chan double feature at the Music Box.
Oh, see?
I'm going to take a break from it this year.
Now that's even weirder. How does that happen?
How does that happen? I mean, they're showing Police Story 1 and 2, two of Jackie Chan's finest films from the 80s.
Yeah, I heard about this, actually.
Just get in there, double feature, hang out.
Are you going to go solo?
I might. I threw out the invite. I said, yeah, I'm going to go see this double feature. You can join me. You can not join me if you're watching the Super Bowl. That's cool. But I don't know. I'm tired of the theatrics, despite the fact that I love the Pats.
So you're a Patriots fan,
yep,
who's over the whole Super Bowl scene. So you're going to a double movie feature of Jackie Chan,
yeah,
at the Music Box.
Yeah, man.
That's kind of...
You got to think outside the box, Carm.
I'm jealous of the way you live your life, man. You definitely... You're good at doing you.
That's what I try. Well, you know, you can be Carm. Jerry can be Jerry, and I'll be Tom.
Jerry doesn't give a living nothing about the game, yet he's going to be watching the game because it's a party.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jerry seems like a fun guy. This is really the first time I've met Jerry. And Jerry, see? I'd go to a party with Jerry.
Jerry is a fun guy.
All right, see?
He is the party.
I may not know everything about the FCC and the RCQ and all that stuff. I might not know it, but...
The NFC and the AFC and the RCC and the FCQ.
Exactly.
Where is this party? Can we crash it?
You can come. I don't know if I want to tell everyone. I mean, I don't want the party to go out of control.
Okay. Is it in a public venue?
It's just it's at a friend's house.
Oh, okay.
And everyone cooks and brings food, and then we all get ready for our Maroon 5 concert. I mean,
how many people?
Maybe 25.
25 people.
Yeah, something like that. That's what it usually is.
312-981-7200. Best Super Bowl traditions. What do you do? What do you bring? What do you eat? What's the dip of choice? Mm-hmm. Is it a wing? Is it a pizza? What are people doing? I think we're going for the taco look.
Really? Okay.
Yes, that's the play this year. I'll be working.
Okay.
Over at theoldfansided.com, and apparently we're bringing in tacos.
Okay.
No Jake's.
Good call. Look at Tom. No one uptown. No Jake's. I love Jake's, but yeah, no. We're gonna upgrade over the nasty burger egg chicken joint on the corner that when you go in there you definitely take years off your life, but yet it's delicious and you keep going back.
Well, you know what it says on the window. Only a rooster could get a better piece of chicken.
There you go. 49-cent ice cream cones at the Jake's. It's a nice job.
Okay.
And the person that works there in the morning, she's the greatest human being ever.
Where's this place? I thought you were talking about Jake Melnick's.
No, Jake's is Jake's Pup in the Rough. It's on the corner of Sheridan?
Yeah, Sheridan Montrose.
Sheridan and Montrose.
Oh, cool. Okay.
They love a good roasted chicken for you.
Okay. I'll go do a review there.
Will you?
Maybe. Why not?
That'd be very nice of you.
Yeah.
They could use the pub.
Okay.
But I don't think you're going to... That's a different level of...
I mean, I reviewed Jake Melnick's. I don't know. Peanut butter and jelly wings.
How's that?
Good. Different.
Okay.
I mean, some really cool stuff.
Jake's is no Jake Melnick's. I'm just got to be honest here.
Okay.
Who are you going to gamble on the game? Are you going to have like squares?
Okay, so they did that at the Tribune. And last year I was so sour about not winning that I couldn't do it this year. One of the big head rich guys in the Tribune, he won a bunch of the money. And I was like mad. I was mad that he won.
So what was the fee last year?
It's like, I think it's $5 squares or something.
Yeah.
But the jackpot was big last year. I mean, I think he won like $400.
So you were dreaming about winning and it didn't go your way. And then you felt really angry that this wealthy guy got the $400 and you're drawing a line in the sand. You say, I'm not participating in that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, okay. So you make fun of my sports knowledge, but listen, I worked at ESPN Zone. Okay.
What?
For a year and a half. Honestly, I waited tables there.
Oh my
God. I got huge reviews about how good I was there. I knew nothing about sports and we bet all the servers bet on all those games and I would throw in money and then I would win and I would quit and they would get so mad. But I mean, I'm telling you, I worked in a total sports environment for a year and a half and did very well.
I'm more amazed that you actually worked as a server. And
yeah,
I mean, to me, anybody who does that gig, I just have mad respect.
Yeah, I waited on one of the Bulls players, too, and he didn't tip me.
Can I get some extra ranch? No, you cannot. You got the requisite amount of ranch. Can I get another Coke? No, stop drinking that much soda.
No, it was crazy. There was recliner chairs in the front where people could recline. They take their shoes off.
Right, and then they stay there forever, stuff. and they leave you $3.
Yes, yeah. I waited on a Bulls person, and he didn't tip at all.
Who?
One of the players.
Do you know the name?
I don't know if I should tell you.
I think it's long after the fact. You could put it out there.
Could I?
Scottie Pippen?
It wasn't No Tippin' Pippin. It was a different one.
Kirk Heinrich?
He was big like that, though.
He's big.
Does it rhyme with Schmeichel Schmorden?
No.
Do you know his name?
We can just keep playing this game.
Do you actually know who it is?
Yeah.
You won't tell us?
I was upset then. I was upset that my manager had to give him a discount so I could get some form of a tip
from
a player that, you know.
What year was
R. Kelly came in there, too, one time when I was working.
Well, there's a guy. Did he tip?
I didn't wait on him. But he was there, too. I mean, you would get different people. The people from, what was that talk show? The crazy...
Oprah?
No. Jerry.
Jerry Springer?
Jerry Springer. They would come in.
It's actually closer than
that. And they would get a discount. And they would come in there, and they were crazy people, and I have to wait on them.
See, I would think Jerry Springer people would tip.
No.
Really?
No, they were from, you can imagine where they were from.
Yeah, okay.
The hills.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it was a wild job. I mean, I did it for a year and a half, but...
Do we have to take a timeout so I can find out who this Bulls player was?
Yeah, we do.
All right, we'll do that. And then we'll come back and wrap it up with something special on 720 WGN. Closing time indeed. Matt Bubala coming up. Jess Rains will be closing time. Producer of the program. Jared, great to be with you tonight.
It was a lot of fun.
So you know that you could be in the Super Bowl, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least act like you could be in the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 13. You remember it well. The Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Dallas Cowboys 35-31.
Right.
Okay, it was their third championship in 5 years. Great job by the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
One of the greatest teams in the history of the NFL. So, after the game, there was this pasty, white, little, bald guy in the locker room. And you're not pasty, and you still have most of your hair. But he's in the locker room, and... It's him and a cameraman. They're about to enter, and then he's inside this locker room, this guy, and then all of a sudden, he's going to, Mean Joe Green is sitting in his locker, one of the great players in NFL history.
Right.
And this dude comes out of the shower, sits down next to Mean Joe Green, and starts getting dressed in the locker next to Mean Joe Green.
Okay.
So he snuck his way in the locker room.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how. And then acted like he was one of the players. And people were coming up to actually interview the guy. This happened. And the dude never identified himself.
He never got thrown out or anything?
No. That's a legit story from Super Bowl 13.
Oh, my gosh.
And the other thing I'd like to remember, the game is in Atlanta. You ever been to Atlanta, Jerry?
Yeah.
Atlanta's a wild town.
Yeah. Clean city, though.
They're big on the adult entertainment in Atlanta.
Hot Atlanta,
mm-hmm. hot strip clubs left and right.
Mm-hmm.
There is, and so the Atlanta Falcons were going to play the Denver Broncos.
Uh-huh.
This was Super Bowl 23. Defensive back Eugene Robinson arrested before the game the night before soliciting a prostitute. He offered $40 for a form of sex. Don't need to get any more further detail than that. Yes.
What year was that?
23 was, so that would have been 1988.
$40 is, so it's a decent amount of money in 1988.
Yeah, but that's still a good buy. I mean, not that I would know these things.
No.
Right. Word on the street.
I mean, I think the story basically goes that he was kind of perhaps kidding just to see, like, if that would be enough money. And unfortunately, the person that he was kidding with was a police officer. And so then that didn't work out particularly well. And then he did not get to play in the game. And then the Atlanta Falcons lost the game. So guys not getting in trouble the night before is a key thing. So watch out for any stories coming out tomorrow, Jerry.
Okay.
That's the whole point of the story.
Right.
Yeah. We got to give our thank yous out, by the way. Papa Fred calling in tonight.
Yes. Very vocal.
Did we learn anything from Papa Fred?
Yeah, don't bury your head in the sand. That's what he said.
Are you going to take that to heart?
I'm going to pay attention a little more, yes.
Will you watch the news more tomorrow than you did perhaps today?
For him, I will. Yeah.
Tom, did my father have any impact on you tonight?
I mean, you know, be passionate. Be, you know, stick to your guns. But at the same time, I think I learned a little from Mike on his way to Cincinnati about, you know, sometimes you got to take a break.
Mike was awesome.
Yeah.
Huge fan.
I read the news every day. We're in the media. This is what we do. We have to know what's going on. And so maybe, you know, take a little break every once in a while. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bad news out there. It's the world. But if you can remove yourself, it might help you a little bit and keep you on the level.
I think we should get Mike and my dad in a room and have them.
I'd love to see that.
You know,
let's go to Jake's.
Go to Jake's. Work it out. Let's have a conversation. I think that they could find some common ground. Absolutely. That is what I'd like to just hope for as we wrap up here. That we're gonna meet in the middle, Jerry.
Okay.
You know, we don't have to be on one side. You don't have to be buried in your corner. I don't have to be buried in mine.
Right.
We're all going to come together.
We can like the Oscars and the Super Bowl.
Right. We can go Oscars, Super Bowl. We can have a deep discussion about nearly any topic.
Yeah.
Including whatever movie I watched tonight, Roma.
Right. I mean, this would be a boring show if we were exactly the same. We want to be different.
What's that? Say that again?
It would be a boring show if it was just we agreed on everything and we were exactly alike. I think it's great that we're different.
I mean, we are definitely not similar.
I know.
We are two completely different people.
Paired together by our manager.
Paired together by the great Stephanie Tischner / Todd Manley, who... Right.
She's in Mexico right now. I wish I was like there.
My understanding is that she's listening right now on the beach in Mexico, drinking a margarita, having a day. I'll be back tomorrow, by the way, 4 o'clock with Harry Tynowitz. We'll do White Sox Weekly, 4 to 5. I know that's one of your favorite shows, Jerry.
Yes.
And then we will do a regular show from 5 until 6:30 ahead of Blackhawks hockey, the Blackhawks in the Minnesota Wild tomorrow night. So
I'll get my poncho on.
You get your poncho.
I'm with Bill and Wendy once a month, so I'm always with them talking about fun stuff to do in Chicago.
And you're going to have an incredible Super Bowl party coming up here on Sunday.
Yep, here we go.
Right.
Some Frito casserole.
You're going to call Mom after the show?
I really think I'm going to, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll try to make it.
I might have to make a stop after the show, get a little snack here on the way home, Jerry. I'm falling prey to the late night snack lately.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I'm going to tell you who that Bulls player was right after we get done.
Yeah. we did discuss that during the break. You don't quite remember who it was.
I figured him out.
You did?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm not going to say it, though.
You're not going to say that, yeah? All right. Well, thank you for listening. Thanks for texting. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. Tom Hush, thank you very much for producing. Matt Bubala, indeed, coming up next.